Welcome back to the Better Every Day podcast, where we are unlocking our best self one episode at a time. My name is David Garcia, and this is my beautiful wife, Grace Garcia, and this is episode 13 of season 2.
Nice. Yep. Nice.
So let's start with how you're doing.
I'm tired.
Tired? From what? Tell everybody what you've done. The fifth class was today?
Fifth class. But I'm tired. I feel like when I do Pilates on the weekend, like first thing early in the morning, I love it. I come back energized. I'm ready to go. Doing it after teaching middle schoolers is another level of draining. Like I do it and I'd rather go to a class than like a gym or something.
Yeah.
And I get it done, but I'm mega exhausted. Maybe it's also because like knowing we have to do the podcast after that, I'm dead. But I've been loving, I like Pilates.
And I have been telling her that nutrition is a very big part of her energy, taking supplements, taking her vitamins.
I'm taking my gummy vitamin.
Her gummy little baby vitamins. So this was your fifth class. What made you start doing Pilates? Let everybody know.
Well, I was looking to work out for a while. I was very discouraged due to my diastasis recti, which if you're not familiar with that term, usually it happens during pregnancy where your like abdominal muscles like tear in half, your linea alba or something like that. Mm-hmm. No, I don't even know if I said the right word actually, but you have to be careful because certain exercises, since your abdomen's literally separated, certain exercises can cause like a hernia, and it's called, what is it, coning, which like, guess your guts and stuff like come in between each side. So there's a lot of fear mongering online. And then you do feel tender and you definitely don't feel as strong and stuff in your core. So I was like running a little bit and then I do certain exercises and I was scared. And then I was just tired of like excuses and like I was using diastasis recti, like I can't do this, I can't do that. And so I was like Googling what's the best like workout, and cycling came up and then Pilates because it's low intensity.
And I remember for cycling you were like begging for the Peloton.
Yeah,
which that mess is like $2,000. I'm like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, and because a lot of cycling classes or even like other classes, they're such at awkward times. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking for like one right after school, like the timing didn't work out. And so Pilates, I never really looked into because I just saw the price and I'm like, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, why am I even browsing? But like cycling or other inexpensive classes, like the times were just bad. And so finally I was like, just so frustrated. And I think you were like trying to help me out because you saw I was frustrated. I'm like, oh, I can never work out. Like, it's not working out. And I was trying, especially last year, I was really good at doing my morning workout. Mm-hmm. To heal my diastasis recti. But it's so like tedious and slow and boring. And you have to like breathe a certain position, like breathe a certain way and do certain positions and stuff that I was like, I don't even know if I'm doing anything. Like, I don't know if this is working. Like, no one's here to tell me if I'm doing it right or wrong. If my form is right, my breathing. So I kind of like got discouraged and stopped too. And so I'm like, I want a trainer to tell me like if I'm doing a good, if I have a good form. And then I'm competitive, so I like thrive off of like comparing myself to others. Not that I want to be better than them, but I'm also like want to be better me, just me, myself, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not even paying attention to them. I just want to be better. So because if I tried to do like, I know there's Pilates, like mat Pilates on YouTube. If I try to do it at home, as soon as it gets hard, I'm looking around, no one's watching, I'm on the ground like taking a break. But yeah, you were helping me and then you gave me the deal, like, hey, the house will pay half and then you cover half. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that sounds reasonable. I think I can afford half of it. And so, the low intensity thing caught my eye. And so I've been trying it and I really like it.
Yeah. And you've been like, I wouldn't call it whining, but you've been like, I need to figure this out. I need to do something. Because yeah. You always kind of seemed like you would jumpstart something, like you would start running. And I remember you were doing like this run walk thing, mm-hmm. and that was going okay. But then you tried doing a 3 miles nonstop, and you're like, my stomach feels tender. This doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
And you kept getting discouraged. So it was cool to be able to come to that conclusion of you got your physical therapist, you got the green light, you started Pilates already, and now you're back on your fitness journey.
Yeah, I'm excited. And that was a journey in itself, trying to get a physical therapist like referral or recommendation. I was like harassing my OBGYN. Like, you told me you were going to give me a referral. You told me you were going to give me a referral, like calling different places, like literally on the verge of tears. I don't even know if I did cry. I was so frustrated because I would call physical therapists and I was like, Dasis is wrecked. And they're like, what is that? And I'm just like, how has no one heard of this? Like, yeah. I'm not making this up. Like, you were there when I'm like, no, it's the abdomen. Like, no, not my back. Like, it was so frustrating. So, yeah, finally my OBGYN came through and they gave me the referral. And I just had one session with my physical therapist, but she seemed like awesome, like definitely wanting to help me out, taking the time to really measure and like how far the separation is, like all of the stuff, and just making me feel confident, like I can do this. And so I'm excited.
You guys want to hear something funny? So right before we started filming this episode, you know, I have everything set up. I got the lighting going and she goes, oh, babe, we forgot to do the before and after pictures. And I'm like, let's just do it now. And she's like, but I already did 5 classes. Like, what if there's already like...
there's already progress.
Progress. I'm like, get the heck out of here. Just let's take these pictures.
I took them, but I'm sure I looked worse. I feel like my abs don't look that bad right now.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And yeah, that's what's been going on with you, huh? And then I'm excited because this weekend, we're finally going to get the 6-pack of Peaks.
No, don't talk about it. I'm so jealous.
Yeah. So if you guys don't know, the 6-pack of Peaks is the 6 highest mountains here in Southern California. It's Wilson, it's Cucamonga, it's Baldy, San Jacinto, San Bernardino, and San Gorgomio or something like that. We've been talking about doing this for so many years. The furthest we got was 3. One of the first ones that we ever did, it was a crazy epic story with Elijah being with us, and he was only like 4 months old. That'll be a story for another time. One of
that
those
was wild.
This is like a mini survival story.
I love that though.
Yeah, adventure. It was a great adventure. But we're finally gonna try it again. And
and when he says we're gonna try it again, it's not me this time, which I'm so jealous.
Yeah, but you know what? It might not even happen this year.
Yeah, because you didn't include me in it.
No. Because if you guys don't know, at the beginning of this year, there was fires. Mm-hmm. And so one of the mountains, Mount Baldy, got affected to the point. So what happens here in California, they really care about, you know, nature, especially like in the mountains and stuff. And yeah. Because a lot of it got burned up, they closed down Mount Baldy. There is apparently no way to get up. Mm. Although I have been reading in certain like forums and stuff, like the people are still getting up there. But if you get caught, it's a $5,000 fine.
Oh, heck no.
And the reason why they close it down is because everything's been burned up. So they want to leave everything at peace. Like, they don't want any like footsteps or anything to allow the nature to grow back like in a normal way, I guess. And so that one's closed down. So if we can't do Baldy, then...
you have to restart with me next year.
We have to do it all over again.
I'm strong.
But we are going to do Mount Wilson this weekend, and I'm super excited. It's such a great challenge. And with me, whenever I think about hiking, I'm always like, it's such a great experience. It's amazing to be able to summit a mountain. But the crazy thing is that once you start the hike, you're just like, what the heck am I doing here? I should have never come here. And then you get to the summit and you're like, oh, that's why I went through all that pain.
When's the next one?
Yeah, when's the next one? And it's just like that reverting cycle.
Yeah, but this will be like your third time doing Wilson, right?
Yeah, the third time doing Wilson. But yeah, I'm super excited. I can't wait. And I love that we keep looking for different challenges and stuff.
Yeah.
And eventually it'd be nice to even like run up it instead of just hike.
That's wild.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a little bit of our lives right now. And the cool thing is, you know, both of them are challenges and you know, the podcast is called The Better Every Day. Mm-hmm. You're taking the proper steps to become better every day. I'm looking for different challenges. And today we want to talk about one of the key ingredients to success. Mm. And one of the key ingredients is accountability. If you guys don't know what accountability, I have this written down here. Accountability in simple terms is taking responsibility for your actions and being willing to answer to someone else for what you say you're going to do. So it's really just about being honest with yourself and others, following through on your commitments, and letting someone help you stay on track when things get hard or you're tempted to quit. That last part is very important, because how many times have we started something that we know is going to be hard? And kind of like you said, when nobody's around and you did like the mat Pilates and you're like, this is getting hard, nobody's around, nobody's going to judge me. Nobody's going to like, nothing. I'm going to be fine. I could just stop right here. Mm-hmm. But you said you like to go into classes because there's almost like a sense of like, I need to keep up. Everyone else is doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that you might have even thoughts of like, you know, maybe a little bit extreme, but like if I stop, someone's going to think that I'm like a little punk, like that I'm weak or whatever. And I don't want anybody to think that I'm weak. Like that's a little bit of pride, right? But still, there's like a certain level of accountability in those settings, mm-hmm. right? Where you're just like, no, I have to keep going.
Yeah,
I have to show up. And so we believe that accountability, like we've talked to, you know, a couple of people in the last little bit where we have been suggesting, like, find accountability partner, find somebody that you can walk with in this season, in this area of your life, because there's certain motivators that you have when you really want to do something, right? There's an initial motivation, which usually comes when you've hit like a certain bottom, or there's a reason why you're like, I need to change a part of my life, right? There's something that like makes you react and you're like, okay, I need to change. And then you have the motivation of your why, you know, like let's say for health, why would somebody start a health journey? Well, for personal reasons, I want to feel good about myself. I want to feel good in general. I want to have better energy. I want to have more sustained energy. I don't want to be good in the morning and at like 1 p.m. I'm going to just bog down. Like, I want to be able to have good blood pressure, a good heart, good lungs. So just personal reasons, right? And then the next part could be the motivation of family. I want to be healthy because I want to live a long life with my wife. I want to live healthy because I want to see my kids grow up. And not only that, but I want to see them have kids and be a grandpa. You know, I want to live long because, or I want to be on this health journey because I want to be 75, still alive and still being able to walk up steps, carry groceries, like just do the normal things where I'm not like have to like be put in a home and being taken care of, like, you know, by like assisted living, I think it's called.
Yeah, caregiver.
So like I want to be able to just be healthy, you know. There's so many reasons, motivations, right? But again, when things get tough, your mind gets clouded in a way. And when things get tough, all those motivations start to fade into like this smoke, and the smoke starts coming in and it starts like shadowing the light. It starts dimming the light. And then you start questioning, why am I doing this? And and it's harder to see your motivation, you know, like it's kind of like what I'm talking about. Like my motivation right now to do like the 6-pack of peaks is like, it's such a great feeling to accomplish something like that, to be in the summit, to know that you climbed up from the bottom to the top of this mountain.
Yeah.
But the moment I start, like maybe a mile or two in, when the incline gets crazy, I'm just like, what am I doing here? That motivation, that picture, that crossing the finish line type of like feeling that I have, it starts to diminish. It starts to dim. And I'm like, is this even worth it? Like, I'm in pain. I can't breathe. My heart rate's through the roof. Like, too much incline. This feels like this is never ending. Like, that's the kind of smoke and the kind of darkness that starts setting into the picture that you're seeing. And then you're just like, I don't need to suffer like this.
Yeah.
You know, especially like, you know, like you were saying, when you do things alone, you're just like, I don't need to suffer like this. Mm-hmm. Like there's not a reason. And so when you get to that point, that's when accountability really comes in, because you have that external factor, that external person that reminds you. Like if you can't see the picture yourself, they remind you of what the picture looks like. Mm-hmm. They remind you that if you are able to push through this darkness, you will get to that summit and you're going to feel everything that you wanted to feel. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but through that climb, you will have gotten stronger. And not only that, but your identity will be even more cemented. And you'll be able to look back and be like, I am a man or a woman that can conquer these things that I said I was going to conquer. Mm-hmm. So a accountability partner will mentor you. They will remind you. They will encourage you. They will not shame you. They will let you know where there's areas of improvement, but they won't like put you down over it. And they'll be like, hey, like I see this, but I know that the greatness is in you, right? And so that's why I believe that accountability is such a key component of success. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many things that God has placed in our lives that can help us be successful, right? We talked about it, the motivation, different external motivations, but accountability is definitely one of them, right? And so I feel like I gave a little good little speech there.
That was good.
But I did want to ask you, has there been any moments in your life where you feel like, A, you've had accountability, maybe give an example of what that accountability looked like, or B, areas where you feel like you needed or need accountability? And what does that accountability look like for you?
I'm trying to think. I'm sure there was like moments where I've been held accountable, but I feel like our generation, like they call it accountability. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, just like a check-in. Like, did you do this or not? It's like, no. And it's like, okay. And so, like, would you say that? Because that doesn't sound like your list where you're just like, oh, I did this today. And if you didn't, they don't say anything. And right, this just like check-in. I feel like that's not accountability, but I feel like that's what people call accountability. Like, let's get on an accountability group chat. And if people don't do it, they just...
Yeah, I feel like in the times that we're in, everyone is
wanting accountability, but too afraid to hurt anyone's feelings.
Yeah, there's a lot of sensitivity.
Yeah.
And a lot of being quickly to be offended. And I feel like people hear that accountability is good and they ask for it, but they don't really know what it entails, or they don't. There's not an open communication between the accountability partner and the person needing the accountability.
Like the expectations, like this is what I'm going to do. Because it doesn't even have to be the person. The person probably looking for accountability and the accountability partner doesn't know how to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to, growing up, I feel like teachers held me accountable. Mm-hmm. Like, where is this?
Yeah.
You said this due date and I see myself holding my students accountable. And then I'm trying to think, like, post-schooling, the only thing I can think of was our financial advisor was holding us accountable. Like, this is what we said. Giving us, like, this tough love. Like, I think you should do this, this, this.
That is a perfect example. And now I want to ask you some questions, okay? Because... there's a lot of people that could say that they want accountability. And I was actually having a conversation with a friend, I think it was yesterday, similar to this topic. Mm-hmm. And it is, people say that they want accountability. People say that they want to be better, but they never know what that price really, like what the price they have to pay is. Mm-hmm. And the price that they have to pay is transparency and vulnerability, mm-hmm. which people do not like to bring up. And that could, again, we don't need to go into the nitty gritty, but it could be, you know, childhood, how they grew up, whatever, maybe judgmental parents, so on and so forth. Like there's certain reasons why they get triggered. They're not like, some people like tend to clam up. They don't want to show people their weakness or their vulnerability, their places of where they're struggling. But it is a price. If you are asking for accountability, mm-hmm. you are telling this person, this is my life.
Yeah.
And so with the financial coach that we got, that was a funny moment. And I think we've talked about it here before. But you kept nagging me. I need a financial coach. And you basically were just like, kind of, I guess, fed up with the way that I was doing things. And you're like, I need a third person, unbiased opinion.
Yeah.
And you just kept nagging until finally I was like, I just smiled at it and I'm like, all right, we're going to do it. And we got her and I already had an Excel sheet at that point. And so I sent her everything, all the information. And she's like, okay, great. We had the meeting with her and she started asking you like, I see that you have this beauty budget and I see that you're doing nails and this
That's
and that.
That's when my beauty budget got cut, huh? I'm like, why don't I have that anymore?
And I saw your face just get serious. And it got even worse when she's like, maybe you don't need to go to the nail salon and maybe you should try on press-ons. I have this link I could send you. It's like $11.
And she never sent it to me.
And they're almost like exactly the same thing as you getting it at the nails. And you saved yourself a bunch of money. And I just smiled. I smiled because I knew that she was going to cut all of your budgets to almost nothing. And but how did you feel during that? Like when you had to be completely transparent, and obviously this is something you asked for. So I knew that you weren't going to hold back, but I knew also that you were not going to like it. How did you feel through that?
Because I genuinely wanted to achieve our goal, I think I was okay with it. Like, I'm like, okay, this sucks, but like I needed it.
Yeah.
So, cause a little bit of context, I was thinking like in order to get out of debt or even like buy a house or just like survive in California, just let's move. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, we don't make enough money. Like, that was my mentality going in. And so I thought, no, we don't make enough. So I kind of was hopeless in a sense. And I was like, I just want to know, like, is it possible? And if it is, like, what's it going to take? Mm-hmm. And so when she saw, like, how much money we made, she, like, gave me hope of, like, you guys make good money. Like, it's not your income that's the issue. And so, yeah, like, obviously I'm not, like, super thrilled, but I liked it because it gave me hope. Like, this is going to be hard, but we can do this. And so I think same thing with, like, my physical therapist where they're like, you have to do these exercises on your own. I'm like, oh, this is going to be not hard, but like annoying because I'm already, I feel like so busy. I have to now add something new to my schedule. But I'm like, I wanted this. Like, and you're also paying a price, right? Like, with time, with finances. And that's why it sucks that when people try to offer like free accountability, like people kind of take it as like, versus if you're paying a mentor or you're paying for the service, they kind of like take it more serious. Mm-hmm. But I think that too, like, we're paying. So yeah, it sucked, but I was like, okay, like we got to do it.
Okay. I get your point about the physical therapy, but that was something that you couldn't control. But I want to focus more on the financial part because that was something that you could control. The financial part was certain decisions that we were making that, you know, you had to be transparent about. And she was like, this is not working. And so like, because at the time you were like, I need my beauty budget. I needed my eyelashes. I needed my nails. I needed my toes. And I forget what else that you had on there. It was a nice chunk of change.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't that. And the crazy thing is that you thought like, it's not even that big a deal. Like it's not even that much.
It was $75 a month. I feel like that's not that
No,
much.
It was more than that. It was more than that. And if you want, I could pop it up.
Okay, pop it up because I honestly thought it was $75.
Okay, so it was more than that. It was like, I think it was something like $250 or something like that a month.
I need it back.
But I want to get to the point of like when you asked for accountability because you were like, I want a coach, I want a coach, I want a coach. Mm-hmm. That coach, basically, a coach can be an accountability partner. Yeah, a mentor that you look for can be an accountability partner, right?
They should be.
I want a coach, I want a coach, I want a coach. This coach is somebody that is ahead of us. Mm-hmm. They know their stuff. They can help us get to where they are or our own level of success, right? So we're like, tell me. You thought that the person was going to say a certain thing, which was get out of California. You have no business being in California. Yeah. She said, nope, you can live in California all your life if you want on the salaries that you guys have. You guys are completely fine. What you do need to do is cut back on all this frivolous spending. Mm. So I want to focus on that again. And I want to ask you, because you kind of like pivoted away. When she told you, because this is something that you like, this is something that made you feel good, but it wasn't necessarily great for us, for our situation or what our goals, like what you wanted our goals to be. Mm-hmm. And so she said, you need to take that away. That thing that you love so much, that thing that makes you feel good in the now, but mm-hmm. it's not going to help you in the long run. You need to take that away. How did that feel when, as a coach, as an accountability partner, she told you, remove it?
I was okay with it because we're on the same page. But if anything, I was like, I need to work harder. Like, I want it, so I'm going to bust my butt. I feel like that's always been my mentality. Like,
I don't know. I don't know if you forget, and I don't know if I'm trying to push a certain narrative.
I feel like you are.
But, like, your face, you were mad. Like, and I remember getting off the call, and you were like, is this woman freaking serious? I remember you complaining, like, she expects me to put on pop on nails,
press ons.
Like, and then she was asking like certain questions about like childcare as well.
Yeah, that you were I remember mad about. The press ons. I was annoyed because I was like, she's trying to sum me up. Like, I haven't tried them, and like they're the exact same thing. I was like, no, like this girl doesn't know what she's talking about. But I knew like, okay, obviously like that's not a necessity. So mm-hmm. I was like fine with it. The childcare, I was like, this is the cheapest. And like she even was like, okay, like I'm like she was trying to, how can you cut that off? I'm like, we're already getting such a freaking steal in California.
Yeah.
And like part of me is like, okay, she's not in California, the childcare, she's not gonna understand. But again, I think I was like fine with it and like welcoming because she gave me a hope of like, you could achieve your dreams if you cut this off. And so I knew there was gonna be sacrifices I had to make. And obviously in that moment, it doesn't feel good, but I'm not like, I never wanna be on a call again. Like I was like, okay, like let's do it. And then we mm-hmm. buckled down and we did it. But yeah.
So my point in that is when you do ask for accountability, again, you have to be transparent. We have to be transparent with all of our money,
yeah,
with all of our finances. And I'm talking about everything, everything that goes in and everything that goes out, where exactly it goes and everything. And we were both fine with that. We've always been fine with that. But there's a lot of people that, like the moment that they go, I want a financial coach. And then you go, all right, you're going to have to tell me everything. They go, nah, never mind. I'm not ready for that. So there's a price that you have to pay with having that accountability.
Yeah.
But I feel like when you make that decision of I am willing to pay that price, that is when you are ready to make that change. Mm. And I actually want to highlight one of our friends, Irvin Chavez. Mm. He's a watcher of the podcast, and I know you're watching. So
shout out.
Just want to say that we love you.
Yes.
And thank you for taking the time to always watch all the episodes. But he recently put himself out there and he was like, you know what? Cause he just recently had a baby. he's already got two kids that are pretty old, not like not super old, but yeah. Like, I think somewhere between the ages of 11 and 14, I think something like that.
I think the boy's younger, but
okay. But like, I mean, older, right? And so, he just had a baby and, I remember having a conversation with him. We were having a conversation about, you know, just marriage and, you know, new baby and health. And he's been telling me like, man, yeah, I got to get on it. I got to get on it. And he knew a little while ago that I did like Spartans. He's like, oh, like I'd love to do like a 5K with you guys, you know. And, you know, he's been saying this, but I feel like him having this new baby, he was just like, no, my life really has to change. Like it's got to. And he put himself out there on social media and he was like, you know what? I forget exactly what the words he said, but he was just like, I'm going to throw myself under the bus. Here it is. And he showed everybody how much he weighed. And he's like, I'm showing you this as an accountability. Mm-hmm. I want whoever's watching this to hold me accountable. And I think in doing so, like he got so much encouragement. And I think that like is also motivating him, which is awesome. Like, I know that he has a lot of people cheering him on And I think everyone wants to see that underdog story, you know, like everyone wants to see him succeed. And so he was like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to start eating better. I'm going to start working out. Even if it's just, you know, taking steps or I'm going to the gym every day. He's like, I'm putting it out there. And he was just like, basically he said, if I don't put it out here, like hold me accountable.
Yeah.
And I go back to like when somebody is willing to get accountability, I believe that is one of the key moments when you really know that somebody wants to make a change. Mm. When they say, I do want to help be held accountable. I want to do these things and I say I want to do these things and I want everyone, whether it's social media or like a specific person, I want you guys to hold me accountable so I can have that integrity within me to do what I say I want to do, you know? And again, I go back to the symbol of climbing a mountain. Like you could be at the bottom. You're like, I want to climb this thing. And then you start and you realize how hard this thing is.
Yeah.
And you need every single tool that God has given you to be able to make it up there sometimes. Like right now that I'm doing like the six pack of peaks, like I'm not doing it alone. I'm doing it with people. And I know that there's going to be moments where some of the guys are going to be like, dude, how much longer? And we're going to encourage them. Or me, myself, I might be like, oh man, like this is tough. And they're going to encourage like that accountability. Like we're all doing this together. Like we're all getting up there together. Is such a huge like motivation, right?
Yeah.
But going back, there is a price that you're paying, and that is the vulnerability and the transparency. Our friend Irvin was like, this is my weight. This is what my plan is. He signed up for a 5K, I think in June or July, July I think it is. He's like, I'm going to run this 5K. I already signed up for it, and you guys are going to watch my journey right here. Mm. And like, you're being open. You're basically opening up your life and like, world, see me. Like, I may fail, but hold me accountable. Like, and that is tough for so many people. Mm-hmm. But again, when you get into that discomfort zone, because it's comfortable to not show anybody. It's like you doing your mat Pilates, like nobody's around. I could just stop and just say that I did it. Like, nobody knows. And so, for you to just open up and just be like, this is where I'm at. This is where I want to be. Help me get there.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you, like, what do you think is the motivation through that accountability? Because I think there could be different interpretations, right? Let's say, for example, I could see that I'm a prideful person. And so let me harness that pride. Let's say I'll ask you to hold me accountable. Mm-hmm. And I know that I'm not, now that I'm like openly transparent with you, I don't want to like show you that I didn't do it. That little bit of pride in me is like, no, you got to do it. Because if not, you got to like tell this person that is your accountability partner, I did not do it. And for somebody who has pride issues, that's hard.
Yeah.
And you almost want to lie. Like, no, yeah, I did it. And then, you know, if somebody really knows you, they know when you're lying, right? Especially like if I ask you, my wife, to like, you'll see it on my face. Like, nah, dude, you didn't do it. Like, stop. But like, yeah, what do you feel like is the motivation part of accountability?
Of wanting to be held accountable?
Mm-hmm.
When you're... At least for me, is when you're frustrated of not seeing change. Like, you're frustrated of always saying you're going to do something. And so when you finally get to, like, your wit's end. Like, I don't want to say rock bottom, but when you're just like, oh, I'm tired of it. Like, for us, it was our finances. Like, we just kept having the same, like, debate over. Because I don't think it was, like, a full-blown argument, but just a debate. Like, see no end, see no resolution.
Yeah, it's just, like, you don't want your life to be the same anymore.
Yeah.
You want to change.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think like 2 years ago, it was like, oh, I wanted to be a person who would wake up early in the morning and read my Bible. And I kept saying like, I wanted to be that person. I wanted to be that person for so long. And I'm like, I just need to do it. Like, I just need to do it. So I think that's for sure one thing when you're just sick and tired. And so you're like, all right, I need someone. Like, I need help. I think you realize, maybe it's also realizing, like, I failed so many times. What am, like, insanity, right? Like, what, why do I think the same thing is going to happen with the same results?
Yeah.
And so when you are truthful with yourself and saying, yeah, I'm not going to do this. Like, I've tried it and I need something else.
Yeah. And I feel like there's certain people that, like, let's say, for example, if you guys don't know David Goggins, like, you should look him up. He's pretty intense. But you might hear a speech from David Goggins and you're fired up. Mm-hmm. And you're like, no, now is going to be different. Today is going to be different. This time is going to be different. But that, like, just, like, motivation from a certain speech or a preaching or something that you heard or a song, like, there's not a long-lasting flame from that. Mm-hmm. That only takes you so far.
Yeah.
And so there's so many people that live like that, that they hear something, like they spark up, like, you know, in the Christian world, you know, you hear a certain preaching, you're like, oh, today is going to be different and I believe it. But exactly what you said, like, we already know our own weaknesses. So what are we doing to combat those weaknesses? What are we doing to strengthen those weaknesses? Are we surrendering it to God? Are we having accountability and telling this accountability person, like, here's my weaknesses, this is where I need help?
Yeah.
Like, how are you doing that?
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's part of, like, it goes to atomic habits. Like, they think just sheer, like, if I just try harder, like, more sheer will. And when they realize, like, no, like, you're the issue.
Yeah.
Like, don't trust yourself. And I think it takes a while to get there, but once you realize, like, I can't trust myself, then you'll call someone in, like, back up. But I think those two things, for sure.
Yeah, I feel like part of the motivation with an accountability is, like, I called it pride, but it could be, like, a level of responsibility that you now feel. Mm. Now that this person knows where I'm at, where I want to be, I've told them this. I've told them my weaknesses. Mm. Now there's, like, a responsibility. I don't want to let this person down, you know? And that's it's not good. Even that, like, the person is holding that over you. But, like, when you open up, it's like, now we're doing this together, you know? And, like, good. I don't want to let you down. There's that, that level of responsibility that you feel, like, I have to do what I say I'm going to do, you know? And we could talk about this a little bit later in a couple of minutes, but this accountability person should be somebody who really loves you and cares about you. They want to see the best for you, you know, and doesn't necessarily need to be somebody that you really know. Like, this, the financial coach that we had, I don't know about you, but I felt like this person actually wants us to succeed.
Yeah.
They want the best for us, you know, and that's like a resemblance of love, right? So you have that sense of responsibility.
And I think even, cause I'm thinking about, like, the group chats where it's like, if, like, I started a group chat, right? Where we're trying to keep each other accountable of, like, reading our Bible and stuff. And it's not that I'm, like, the leader of the group chat, but I'm thinking how you say, like, responsibility. Like, if I don't check in and I don't do it, I feel like they'll be like, oh, shouldn't do it. Maybe I'll just, like, not do it too. Like, there's this sense of responsibility. Like, I need to show them I can do it so that they can feel like they can do it. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's this, like, I don't want to say the burden of you doing it because you want them to follow you, but it kind of goes.
You want to set an example.
Yeah.
Yeah. You, like, you're willing to lead the way.
Yeah.
And usually when you're leading, you want to be the first one up front, you know, and that's a topic for another day, but leadership is another one. But when you're leading something, you want to be up in the front. You want to show, like, I am doing the same thing that I'm asking everyone else to do.
And so I think for me that recently that's been another form of accountability, because, like, I want people to get there, and so I'm like, let's do this together, because it's like, I want to see you get there.
All right, so let's go to the next part, which is, what does accountability look like?
That's where I personally struggle, because I feel like I'm not holding people accountable, because I'm very passive, and, like, even with my students, I think they'll be like, oh, I'm gonna do it late. I'm like, that's fine. Like, I'm not going to do it. I'm like, okay, that's fine. That's on you. Like, do you boo-boo, shoo-shoo?
Mm-hmm.
But it, how you said, it goes back to that culture of, like, sensitivity. And I do think accountability looks like having clear expectations. Do you know if I say yes to holding you accountable, or if I say yes for you to hold me accountable, like, what does that look like? What are our roles? Yeah, just have it set forward, set down. That way when it happens, no one can say, you're being mean, or that's not what I signed up for, or it's too much or whatever. But I do think there, that's like a two dual role, right? The person that's doing the holding accountable, they do have to kind of lead by example, I would say. Like the financial coach, if she didn't have her life together, I'd be like, what the heck? Like, I already kind of judged her because she wasn't living in California, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you have to have something. So lead by example. And then how you said, like, you're encouraged. Like, no one is going to want to do something because they feel bad about it.
Yeah.
And so, like, practice encouraging them. And not being afraid, which that's where it's tough with me. I can do the encouraging part. I can do the setting an example part. The part where I struggle is, like, gently calling them out. Like, hey, you said you were going to do this and this. Like, this is what you signed up for. Maybe ask them questions. Why haven't you? What's hard about this? What is making it difficult for you? Like, that's actually the holding accountable part, I feel like. Because you can have encouragers. You can have people leading the way, like influencers or like things. But the actual holding accountable is like asking them questions like, hey, you said, that's like the meat of it, you know? Like there has to be that. But again, I think maybe we're not modeled that. So then we're uncomfortable with doing it. Because I honestly don't think like it's a normal part of our culture, which especially in the Christian culture, it should be. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's where like even confession comes from. And it's like, hey, how's your walk with God? Or like me, then me feeling comfortable and confessing. And I sin today.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't even practice that. And so we don't know how to do it. We're just, it feels foreign to us.
Yeah. I think you said something really key, that nowadays we believe that people who encourage us are our accountability partners.
Mm-hmm.
That accountability looks like just somebody cheering you on.
Yeah.
And it's a certain phase of it. Like, hey, did you do what you said you were going to do today? Yeah. It was really hard. And then accountability partner could be like, dude, even though it was hard, you did it. And that's amazing. That's awesome. Mm. Like, I'm proud of you. Keep going, you know, cheering them on, right? But I really like what you said. Accountability looks like clear expectations.
Mm-hmm.
This is what this is going to look like. I'm going to ask you certain questions. I'm going to ask you, did you do what you say you were going to do? And if you say that you didn't do it, I'm going to ask you why you didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to try to get down to help you get down to the nitty gritty of it. What there cannot be at any point in time in accountability is shame.
Mm-hmm.
Shame does nobody no good. So when you get to those points of this person that's asking you for accountability that says, I didn't do what I said I was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now as an accountability partner, and now we're talking from both sides, now as an accountability partner, it is your job to give them grace because we all mess up. It is incorrect for you to be like, I can't believe it. You didn't do it. You said you were going to do it. Like, I've been there before, but then in the middle of sometimes my rants, I go, buddy, how many times have you said you were going to do something and you've dropped the ball too?
Yeah.
And how many times did you wish that somebody would have given you grace? And here it is. okay. Ecclesiastics 4 verse 9-10. I believe this is paraphrased. Two are better than one. If either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. And that's exactly what it is. Like, there's grace being shown. All right, you didn't do it. Let's talk about why. Okay, how are we going to help you overcome the struggle that made you not do this time? Mm-hmm. You know, whatever it is, how we're going to do it. And this accountability session should be like a relationship. If both are willing to work, let the relationship keep going. Mm. If only one is willing to work, that relationship is not going to work. And funny enough, this was through a joke, but we have some friends that we were having a conversation with, and there was something going on about accountability. I only got to the end of the text or whatever, but we were in a group chat and they were talking about accountability, and the one person said, he cannot want it more than you. And I hadn't even thought about it, but when I read it, I was like, oh, that person's right. Mm-hmm. And exactly an accountability relationship. If the person holding you accountable wants it more than you, the relationship is not going to work.
Yeah, for sure.
Honestly, I think they should both mutually want it just as bad. And the reason why I say this is because whenever I have situations of accountability, and I don't know if this is like my own like psychology coming out, my own life, like my projection or whatever. Like I see myself in that person and I'm just like, I want that person to win. Because when I get in those moments, I'm like, I want this person to win so bad. I want to hear the success story. I want to hear that they did what they said that they were going to do. Like, it brings me to like tears. It fills me with so much joy to hear somebody say, I was struggling before, but now I'm conquering this thing, mm-hmm. you know? And so I think, again, both people should want it just as bad. That being said, again, with the expectations. So when you bring something up, the person didn't do it. The accountability partner should be starting to get the sense of, does this person really want to like move forward with this? And if you're getting a sense of there's like a lot of like a list of excuses, then you also need to figure out like, is this person just having a hard time getting over these hurdles of excuses? Or is this person using these excuses to say, no, that's my reason why I'm not going to do it, mm-hmm. you know? And again, that goes back to if the person doesn't want it, like, all right.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Like, because it does suck in situations. One person wants it more than the other. And then that relationship, like, can get not in a great space, mm-hmm. you know? So... Clear expectations, honest conversations is very important in an accountability. Yeah. And honesty comes with trust. Like if you trust somebody, you'll be honest with them. You'll know that they won't shame you. You'll know. And it kind of reminds me of me and you back in the day when you kind of were just like, I need to know that you love me. And you had to kind of remind myself, like, I know that he loves me. And that just helped you like, all right, let's talk about this. We can have this conversation. I can hear him speak. And at the end of it, I know that he loves me. And the same thing in an accountability relationship. The person asking you to like hold them accountable needs to know and needs to trust that you do care about them, like to the point that you want the best for them. Mm-hmm. Like you're not there to point fingers at them, although they may feel that, right? Because I'm a person that doesn't like to share their weaknesses or their struggles, right? Because I grew up feeling like I need to hide this all. Like I need to be Mr. Perfect, right? And so you need to have that safe space really of like, no, you can say whatever you want.
Yeah.
Like I'm here for you. Like if you fail, I'm going to give you grace and we're going to figure this out and we're going to keep going. And exactly like that Bible verse says, like you may fall, but I am here to help you get back up and we're going to keep walking. Mm. So long as you want to keep walking. But that is very important. Mm-hmm. Because an accountability person is there for many reasons. Again, as the discomfort, being open and transparent, helping the person have integrity, but also to encourage them. Two, if it is like a Christian type of accountability, kind of be a reflection of Jesus. Like, Jesus is not condemning you. Like, Jesus is like, hey, let's work on this together. Like, Jesus is not saying you're going to the pits of hell for the mistakes that you just made. Like, not at all. Confess, repent, and let's keep going. Like, let's keep working at this.
Yeah.
And I think that an accountability relationship resembles that.
Yeah. And I believe, because you brought up like the point of shame, right? Like, they shouldn't feel shameful. And I do think, because I immediately went to the Garden of Eden, mm-hmm. where Adam and Eve felt shame, and God didn't even, like, it wasn't his intention at all to shame them. He just asked a question, right? Like, why are you hiding? And they felt shame, and they felt like, well, because, you know, they started like putting these excuses and mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And I think even maybe that original conversation between the two people and saying, like, in the beginning, if you fall short, like, it's natural to feel shame. Like, it's not coming from me, but it's human nature that when we fall short, we're like, oh, we feel shame. I think starting to get used to it, like, seeing that, oh, they're not reiterating that shame. Mm-hmm. They're not adding on to it. They, like, acted graceful. And then you practicing, like, confessing. Or not, I don't want to say, like, practicing failing, because obviously you're trying to get better. But when you start seeing, like, maybe after the second time that you mess up, like, it starts getting easier. And so just wanting people that it might not be the accountability partner that is making you feel shameful. It's just a human thing. Like, sometimes we feel shame, but the only way to get over that is by keep practicing, like, trusting them, especially if you know that they love you and they want to help you feel, like, get better.
Yeah. Yeah. And the next thing that I wanted to get to is, like, what are the benefits of accountability? And you kind of already touched on this. And I kind of see it as an analogy of, like, going to the gym and working out. Mm. Like, let's say, like, I have this body and I feel like my weak muscles are my calves, let's say. Everything else feels strong, but my calves are my weakness. So I want to start working on my calves. I'm not going to throw, like, 1,000 pounds on these calves and start, like, doing calf races or whatever. I'm going to start, like, if they're my weakest point, I'm going to start at 10 pounds. Like, whatever it is that my calves can handle, I'm going to do it. And then from there, and the same thing in an accountability relationship, you're working out certain muscles, whether they're emotional muscles, mental muscles, whatever. You're working them out because you, in accountability, you realize, like, you're sharing what your weaknesses are. You're telling this person, like, here's where my weaknesses are. I need help. Those are your AKA weak muscles. Let's start working them out. And as you work them out, you start diminishing those limiting beliefs. Mm. Because by yourself, you're like, I just can't do it. I can't do it for this reason. Can't do it for that reason. But when you have that accountability partner, and that accountability partner is helping you and then holding you accountable, like, you are going to do what you say you're going to do, you start working out those muscles. Mm-hmm. And you go from 10 pounds to 20 pounds to 30 pounds till before you know it, you're up to, like, 200 pounds. And you're like, I never thought I would be able to lift 200 pounds with these tiny little dinky calves. Mm. And the same thing, like, I never thought I'd be able to overcome these weaknesses. But here I am. I never thought that I could be so vulnerable and open and feel safe in a conversation, in an accountability, in a relationship. Mm-hmm. But here I am.
Yeah.
Like, you start practicing all these things. I never knew that I could be so disciplined in this area. I never knew I never knew I had this integrity in me. And you start building it, and as you're building this, like, the person that asks for accountability starts growing and growing and growing in all areas of their life. And they're just like, again, it's just rooting their identity of who they really are.
Yeah.
You know, you were going to say something?
Well, I don't know if I'm like looking up a verse and I'm like, I don't want to take it out of
context,
but it says, I'm reading Ecclesiastes 4:12. And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not easily broken.
Hmm.
And I've heard this in, like, weddings and stuff. But it doesn't say like a man and a woman. It doesn't say like a spouse. It just says, you know, two people. And I think, yeah, you're able to withstand like failure, like your procrastination, your weaknesses. Like when there's two working at the same goal with the same intent, it's so much easier to stand on your feet. And withhold, it might not be a man, a physical man, but it's there's something obviously in your way that didn't allow you to get there. And so you reach out to this accountability partner. And I feel like it makes it that much easier.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And one of the last points, how do you choose an accountability partner? Because somebody might be listening to this and saying, this sounds great. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to go find myself an accountability partner. What does that look like? What am I looking for? What would you say to them?
That is tough. Mm-hmm. And it might be trial and error a little bit. Because they can seem, right? Like, oh, and then you won't know. And you're just like, they're not really keeping me accountable or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But hopefully by their fruit, you see, like, they've accomplished things. They're a man of or a woman of integrity. Like, their yes is a yes. Their no is a no. And they have something or are practicing something that you want, right? So in your case, a lot of people, like, reach out to you for fitness because they're seeing you in real time. Like, they've seen the before and after. And they're like, he's bearing fruit. That's something that I want in my life too. And so they reach out to you.
Yeah.
And so, I would hope like by their fruit, you can see this is someone.
Yeah, I would say usually when you ask for an accountability partner, it's for a certain part of your life that you want to change, mm-hmm. right? And so I believe that the accountability partner should be somebody that is ahead of you.
Yeah.
In that area, you have seen the fruits, like you said, is trustworthy, is responsible, and
and cares that they want you to succeed.
And that they care, that they have the time to do mm-hmm. it. Definitely something very important. And, you know, you said, oh, like, I don't know if that person will actually hold me accountable. Like, that is something that you can talk about in the first time that you talk to them. Mm-hmm. And be like, here's the expectations of both part. Here's what I want. And let me hear what like you're thinking as well. And let's get on the same page. And then at that point, it's just like, now are you both going to do it? You know?
Yeah.
But I feel like, yeah, you want somebody that you know wants you to succeed. 100%. That is one of the biggest keys, that you know that this person wants you to succeed.
And because you said like that they're ahead of you, like what if, so you don't think two people can hold each other accountable, like they're both wanting to do this goal?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's like a different dynamic to it, right? Because you can have coaches, you can have mentors, yeah. You can have just a straight up, like, I see this person that's like diligent or whatever, like I need you to hold, like the way that you run your life, I need you to help me run my life the same way, right? Or you can have like
peer-to-peer.
Peer-to-peer, like I when I ran my first half marathon or my first two half marathons,
yeah,
I had, in the first one, I had a couple of people. And the second one, I just really had one, Caesar. I'm not sure if he listens, but shout out to Caesar. That's a peer-to-peer accountability. And we'd be like, okay, this day we're going to meet up and we're going to do a run and we're going to see how we're at, you know, how we're doing, whatever. And sure enough, like, yeah, like, we said we did what we said we were going to do. And like a couple of weeks before the half marathon, we met up and we did 12 miles. Mm-hmm. And right when we said the day that it was going to be, at the time that we were going to be there, we did it. It was a great workout. And we're like, all right, we're ready to go. We're ready to rock and roll. And yeah, that's a level of accountability too. It's just like, we're going to do this together. And again, now it's both of us. Like, I want to see you succeed. You want to see me succeed. We're kind of like both new at this, but we're both going to do this together, you know?
Okay.
So accountability in that aspect is just two people really that want to get something done and are working together to get that done.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas, you know, like in the mentor coaching, that's somebody that's already ahead, and that's not just holding you accountable for you to do what you say you're going to do, but they're also giving you tips. They're also giving you ways for you to be more efficient with your movements and your time and money or whatever it is that you're getting accountability for.
And I don't know if you had this on your talking points or if you wanted to wrap it up, and maybe this can be even a part two.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think are like some risks of accountability when it like fails? Like I'm thinking of maybe it was like a family or like good friends or like husband, wife.
So the risks are emotional, and I would kind of give the analogy of being borrowed money. And the reason why I bring that up is because,
yeah, I agree.
If let's say you're asking me to hold you accountable, I am a person, not everyone's like this, but I am a person that the moment that you say that, I feel honored that you asked me, I feel privileged, and I'm already emotionally invested, which means now your success, I feel like is my success. And I want to see you succeed so bad. And if we get to the point where you kind of like veer off or you give these excuses or I get the sense of like, you don't want to do this anymore, like for certain people that could really bring attention to the relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's why, like, you know, if you're going to go the route of a coach or a mentor, they tend to be a little like...
Unbiased.
Yeah. Like there isn't that like pre-friendship before it.
You know don't feel mean? Like you're letting them down.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, whether I do this or not, they're still there. Like,
mm-hmm.
But then I'm like, oh, I'm letting you down.
Yeah. Yeah. So there could be tension, but... like any other relationship, if there is communication, that is what is going to help and save a relationship, yeah, or a friendship or whatever it is, right? So maybe the person just straight up like says, you know what? I can't do this. I'm done. No, you can. Come on. You could do it, blah, blah, blah. Like, no. I don't want to let you down anymore. I don't want to do this anymore.
Like they're vulnerable. And
yeah.
Just like,
yeah, yeah.
Like we can't talk about this anymore. Like what happened?
Yeah. Or they ghost you or whatever. Yeah. Like, no. Like it's, I'm done with the journey. Just like, okay.
And do you think it's fair? Well, I feel like it is. But for the person who was asked to be like, the person who's doing the holding accountable,
mm-hmm,
to reach out and be like, are you sure you want this? Because I'm not getting... anything.
So in that, from my personal experience, I think there should be a template for accountability.
Mm.
So let's say you both put the expectations. I'll go, listen, like I'll check in with you once a day. Yeah. Like if you say, like, for example, you're going to work out every single day, I'm going to check in with you every day and be like, hey, like, are you doing what you say you're going to do? Right. I lost my train of thought. What was your question again?
Like the person that's doing the holding accountable, they can ask like, hey, are you sure you really want this? Like,
oh,
do you
okay.
want out? Like so, they start seeing that they're not engaged.
There's a different dynamic with different people, right? I remember there was a accountability relationship that I had and you were like, do this, say this, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's not the way to help this person. And you're like, no, like... this is the way. And I'm like, no, it's not. And what my point is like, there's certain people that will thrive off of like a David Goggins, like you go and write them. Like if not, you're a punk and you got to go, like go bust your butt. You're going to be a champion and blah, blah, blah. There's other people that you need to find like certain motivators. Hey, like, don't forget your why. Don't forget why you're doing this. Come on, like keep going. Like there's a skeleton, but then there's like different ways to go about it. And why I'm saying that is because with some people, they might not react well with you being like, you sure you want to do this? Because really what you're saying with, are you sure you want to do this, is you're wasting my time.
Yeah.
And many people will interpret it like that. And there comes the tension of, because you asking, are you sure you want to do this, is a form of passive, being a passive aggressive. You're not asking a direct question. You're passively aggressively asking, are you sure you want to do this? AKA, you're wasting my time. And I don't like when people waste my time. So for the most part, no, I would never ask somebody that.
Okay.
Any other questions? That was a decent question.
A decent. No, that's all I have for right now.
Let's see. One last question. If you were ever to ever have like an accountability partner for something, what would you like it to look like?
Like in what area? Or what is it?
In whatever area. And kind of the reason why I asked is because you've asked me to be your accountability partner. And that does not work out because you're just like, leave me alone.
Well, from you, okay, if I feel like you should be my accountability partner and I'm being transparent, I feel like you give me excuses of like why it won't work out or like, not that you want me to fail because I don't think so. You like set it up of like why it's not a good idea. I'm just like, or like everything that could go wrong. That's like, that's not a good accountability partner.
Okay, let's go back to my original question, which was if you were to have accountability, what would the ideal accountability partner look like? What would that relationship look like? How would you want that dynamic to work?
I think with like, I mean, all I, how you, I said the only real accountability was like with the financial coach. And I'm sure there's others. I just really can't think right now. I'm really tired. I apologize. But sorry, I think it's where they give you hope. Like, obviously, they have to believe in you, right? Like, oh, you want to get there? That's awesome. I could totally see you doing that. I can see you crushing it. So they are hopeful, but then they don't sugarcoat it neither. At least for me, I don't want to be sugarcoating it. Like, I don't want to be thinking, wait, like, it's so much sugarcoating that you can't see the real thing. Like, am I going to be able to achieve it? How long is it going to be able to achieve it? Like, what's it going to take? And so then breaking it down. This is what sacrifices you're going to have to make. This is what, like how we said, communicate. And then I don't think every day check-in. I feel like that's at least for me, right? Like how the financial coach did it. Let us do it and then we'll check in after a week. All right, how does that look? And then tailor, right?
Mm-hmm.
It should be, I think, the person doing the accountability, like, tailor their approach when you see whether they're so hard on themselves, let me encourage them, or I don't think they understand the sacrifice. Let me like reiterate to them again what it's going to take, and it's like personally tailoring it to you. I think that's what I expect it to look like. How about you?
Me, I think I thrive more on like the daily check-ins. Did you say what you... Did you do what you say you were going to do?
Oh, I get anxiety.
But you want to get rid of the anxiety.
I guess.
And that's the thing. Like, that's what I work off of like, I need to do it and I need to kill it. That way when they ask me, with flying colors, buddy, yeah, I did exactly what I said I was going to do. And not only that, but I went the extra mile.
That's true. And I guess it, like, for me, I think it like depends what. But I'd love for you and everybody, you guys hold me accountable to my fitness journey because I feel like it's going to be a tough one and I need it. Like, for me to completely kill it, I cannot, like, do it on my own, like, not tell anyone. Like, I need to feel pressure. I need to feel like people are watching me. Like, I thrive off of, maybe that's pride, but, like, like I said, I'm doing it and I'm doing it, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and just to end off, just going to read one more Bible verse, which is Galatians 6:1-2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And that just reiterates that we are not meant to do life alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, God has placed so many tools, so many people around us that will help us succeed in life, in the purpose that God has for us. And I believe that God wants us to be healthy, that God wants us to be healthy physically, mentally, spiritually. He wants us to be able to just be full of faith, take those leaps of faith, to be able to really bring his kingdom here on earth, to share the gospel. And I think he has great plans for all of us. And this is one of the keys for you to see God's glory manifest in your life. It is accountability. You at home or wherever you are listening to this, you know your weaknesses. Mm-hmm. You know where you need an accountability partner. And we're telling you here right now that you probably need one. You've been trying to do things on your own. You've probably watched YouTube videos that have motivated you. You maybe have read books. Maybe you heard a certain speech or preaching that you thought this time is going to be different.
Yeah.
You've tried and you feel like, I am trying different things, but I can't get it done. But I've never tried vulnerability. Mm. I've never tried transparency. And I've never tried real accountability. Not the, you go, girl, you go, boy, like, go, go, go. Like, no, real accountability where you can be open with this person, honest, know that it's a safe space, and know that this person wants to see you succeed, even in the times where you feel like you're done, that this person has that extra fire that they can lend you when your fire is going out.
That's good.
And I just want to reiterate, Irvin, you were one of the inspirations for this episode. I just want to say that we are proud of you. You are now an ambassador of the Better Everyday Podcast. You are getting better every single day. We believe in you. And we cannot wait to see you run that 5K and see the transformation that is going to take place. And know that it's going to be one day at a time. You might not see the changes from day to day, but over time, you will see that it was all worth it. And that goes to all of you as well. So we will see you next time. We love you all. See ya.
Bye.